Rework is brought to you by Basecamp. Basecamp streamlines the way you manage projects, work with clients, and communicate company-wide. Learn more and try it for free at basecamp.com.
Welcome to Rework, a podcast about the better way to work and run your business. I'm Waylon Wong.
And I'm Sean Hildner. This week on the show, we're bringing you another one of our Last Week with Jason Fried segments. This is a segment in which we sit down with Jason Fried to talk about what he's been up to in the last week. You know, running a business isn't always about creating the product or even selling the product. Sometimes it's about talking to a landlord.
Last year on the show, we had Jason on to talk about the fate of our office here in Chicago. And he told us that the lease was running out and that he was figuring out whether he wanted to try to extend our lease here in the Chicago headquarters or shop around for new space. And today we have an update. You talked to him about the latest developments in negotiating with the landlord and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. And it was a very fun, exciting conversation. And we also got into a lot of the history of where Basecamp has lived for the last 20 years.
Yeah. So it's a little looking into the past and a lot of looking into the future and figuring out what does space look like for a company that is remote and looks really different from the company that first moved into this space a decade ago. And if you stick around, you'll also hear Jason reveal how much we pay in rent.
All right, let's get into it. Last year, we talked to you a little bit about some of the stuff you're going through on what do we do with this office
Our
lease is up.
Yeah.
And so there's been some movement there. You want to fill us in on sort of the backstory up until about 2 weeks ago?
So our lease is up at the end of July of this year. And so we've been kind of over the past year-ish, we've been looking into what do we do? Do we renew this lease? Do we go find another place? We began looking for other office spaces. And we were getting close. And then I kind of felt like, well, maybe we should make an effort to try and extend this place perhaps for a little bit. I don't really know. Let's just see. So we went back to the landlord. It turned out that he has some plans maybe to do something with the building in a couple years. So maybe we could extend our lease for a couple years until he's ready. And then like we would leave and he would leave and whatever, he'd sell the building or something like that. So we were kind of going down that road and things were starting to look positive, kind of look up. The rates around here, the rents have gotten pretty high.
Through the roof, right?
Through the roof. So I didn't want to pay market, but I'm like, you know, look, we're an existing tenant. We've been here for 10 years. Every single other tenant in this building except Goodwill has bailed on you. We have not. We've been here the whole time. We pay our rent. We've beautified the building. You bring people through our space all the time. We've helped. You know, can you give us a hand here? And, you know, we're friendly enough. So we kind of had a nice chat and kind of tried to make something work. And then we sat down to like kind of hammer out a final negotiation. And I could tell something was weird across the table. And I'm like, do you actually just not want us here? He goes, well, we've got someone who wants to rent the whole floor. So for those who are listening, we have about not quite half the floor, maybe 40% of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a vacant space on the other side of the floor that's been vacant for a while. But in this neighborhood, the trend is for companies to take the entire floor plate. Like
right.
That's kind of what's going on. So he's like, I got someone who wants the whole floor. And so I basically said, then just let them have it. Because I'm not like, I don't want to be somewhere where we're not welcome. I don't want to be somewhere where like you're going to make more money off someone else and you're going to resent us. Like, you don't need to really do us any favors. There's lots of places around here and let's just like cut it clean. He goes, thank you very much. Appreciate that. And so that was it. So we shook hands across the table and that was it. So
That's not too bad.
It was fine. We're out of here on July 31st.
Okay.
So that's the last day of our lease.
And I just want to go back a little bit further
yeah.
in case we didn't cover this on the last one. How many people were working at Basecamp when you first got the office? And especially how many people were in Chicago and coming to the office?
Well, let's see. Our lease has been 10 years. So
yeah.
2010.
Around 20 people maybe?
20-ish mm-hmm. maybe. And we had maybe 8 in Chicago, something like that. But we knew that we were going to grow a bit. And we knew that we were going to bring people into town frequently. And we built this theater to give events and whatnot.
So we had a theater with 37 seats.
37 seats, uh-huh. 37 signals, 37 uh-huh. seats. So we had this vision to use the space in a slightly different way. It's funny because it's kind of the perfect office 2 weeks out of the year.
Yeah.
Right? It's perfect.
Well, it's almost perfect because now we're 50-something people.
Yeah, it's hard to fit everybody in the theater.
And the theater's a little small.
But we have these team rooms. We have conference rooms. We've got like the big kitchen.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about like we need to get – what are we going to do? And it's like, we could run a theater to give a talk, but like, there's no breakout spaces. Like, we got to really figure out how to find something like this. Like, if we were looking for something like this, we would rent this that we have. We don't have it anymore. So
my favorite with the meetups is somehow, even with 50 people, lunches still seem communal. You know, you can still talk to people. You can still do whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, it's because we have that massive table.
That is
also,
nice.
Which seats 20 people.
The bank table. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I remember when we moved in, everyone could sit around that table. So we had about 20 people. So it was right. That was about the right number.
Huh.
Well, it's actually an old conference table that used to be in a bank,
right,
like on the 30th floor of some bank building.
Oh, you can totally tell,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Where, yeah, it flares.
You can
it's a great
all
design.
The suits
and kind of, yeah, exactly.
It.
But you can see everybody because it kind of
mm-hmm.
flares out in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We're, you know, the office is kind of perfect for a couple weeks of the year. Other than that, like literally there's four people in here, five.
That's a big day.
That's a big day. Usually it's three. It's
yep.
you, me, and maybe Waylon twice a week or yep. three times a week. Maybe David sometimes. Maybe someone else wanders in.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 11,000 square feet for three people. It's just ridiculous.
It's called luxury.
Yeah, it is luxury. It really is.
I feel spoiled.
It's very luxurious. And we're here in this dedicated podcast room, studio. Like we've got a good setup here, but it really is more than we need. And actually, there was another stage here where we were about to sign another 10-year lease here, kind of. So we were going to another company that we know, the architects actually who designed this space. They need a new space. They mm-hmm. love our space because they designed it. And they were thinking about taking over the lease for 10 years, and we would sublet a small piece of it. And that would have been like we could have stayed here and had more people around every day. That would have worked out too. But that didn't work out for a couple of reasons. And so now we're beginning to look – we're looking with them for maybe going into a space with them.
With B&L?
Yeah, with
oh,
B&L.
Oh, cool.
So we're looking into that. I have an appointment on Thursday to go look at a space. Back in the loop again. So looking at that opportunity
Oof.
Again. You'd like that,
Fancy
though.
Pants. That's going to be so easy on my
yeah,
commute.
Yeah. I'm thinking like very few people come anyway.
Yeah.
Those who do, like you, the commute would be so much easier.
And people from out of town, like –
Yes.
Downtown is more interesting. It's more Chicago than
it is.
The Google
It's more
West
for,
Loop
to be honest, it's more for like, can I handle it?
this is for Jason Fried.
To be honest,
Jason
I'm being selfish
downtown.
Here. Like, do I want to go downtown like 3 days a week? Do I? Maybe I should suck it up and do it. Anyway, we're looking at a really cool building. Maybe we do this with them. Maybe we don't. I don't know. And then I'm also going to look at some other buildings. Actually, but everything we're looking at right now, we'd be going in with another company. So
mm-hmm.
we'd be kind of sharing a space with someone else. Because mm-hmm. realistically, we want the space, but we don't always need the space.
We want the space every 6 months.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, for example, if we went in on like a 10,000 square foot space like we have with another company, and then 2 weeks out of the year, we would like own the whole office for ourselves
mm-hmm.
and they would like work from home or something, like that'd be fine. And that'd be perfect for us.
Yeah.
We'd have people around. There'd be other warm bodies in the place. You know, it'd be nice. So we have to find a cultural fit, though, with the companies that but the B&L are quiet and they're, you know, their architects are always like doing their focused work. So we'll see. But we have to kind of kick it into high gear, or we'll have no office for a while, which is also an option. So
yeah,
we'll talk about that.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Obviously, as one of the authors of the book Remote, we talk a lot about remote work
yeah.
and the beauties of remote work around here.
Why do we need
space? Yeah. Why do we need
space? We don't. We've never needed a space. We've always looked at an office as a luxury item. And for our whole existence, we subletted a few desks from somebody else until 2010. We sunk a bunch of money into this place. And I feel like it was worth it. It's a great office. The whole company could come in twice a year. We had nowhere, we had somewhere to put everybody. It felt good. It feels good to work here. It's a nice space. But it is a luxury, and I think that's okay. Just recognizing that it's a luxury. We don't need an office.
Sure.
And that, therefore, like if we can't find something this year, we'll go without one for a while. Maybe we'll go out without one for a year and see how that feels. Maybe we feel like we do need some sort of HQ in Chicago because we do have a center of gravity here. There are 13 people mm-hmm. or so that work here. So like, you know, it's nice to be able to get together with people in town. It's nice to bring people into town for training. There are some benefits of having a central place. So we'll see. You know, part of what we've been looking at is like, can we get away with like a 4,000 square foot office, like a nice, much smaller space? Or do we want to go in on a bigger space with another company? We're just digging around right now. But I wouldn't feel bad if the lease expired and we didn't have an answer. If we didn't have an answer, it'd be like, well, let's exist.
Yeah.
You and Waylon would find a studio. We'd rent a theater out if we needed to. Like, we can rent venues out.
Mm-hmm.
We can rent these selective things out if we need to. But that said, it just, there's something that does feel nice about having a place you can call home. And
that's not your home.
That's not your home.
Yeah.
And I mean that for the company, because most people here work remotely, either at home or like in
co-working. By here, you mean in Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah. Like we are based here. The center of gravity is here. We have 13 people here. This is where we're based. So it's not a bad idea. And also we've been, David and I have been talking a little bit more about giving more back to Chicago in some way, since this is where our home is. And so part of that might be having a space that we can use for other things and give, let other people borrow and stuff. Anyway, so we're kind of playing around with the notion that we should still have something, but just not this. This doesn't make sense. 10,000 square feet for three people. No, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's a waste. It's wasteful.
I can't complain. What sort of excites you the most? I think the last time we talked, you were, I mean, you're always excited about designing a new office,
yeah,
right?
That's exciting.
Fun for you.
It is. It is.
Do you also get the same amount of excitement or a different kind of excitement about taking your entire company remote? I feel like
I like
if I was asking
projects,
David this right now,
yeah,
it would be the exact opposite answer.
It might be. Yeah. I like architecture projects. I like designing spaces.
Yeah.
I like materials and I like that stuff. So I'm excited about the opportunity to rethink how we want to work moving forward in a physical place. You know, this office here is very much based on how we thought we were going to work with a lot more people in a physical space. A lot of the ideas behind it are solid, like the quiet materials and no clutter and, you know, people have room and we have these private rooms and it's a library kind of feel. So
we should mention that actually this room existed before there was a podcast.
Yeah, this,
you know,
was an anticipatory room.
Right.
Like, we might need
just
something
in case.
Like this. Yeah. You know, I like the idea of thinking through the space and building out a space. It's just, I enjoy it. And I think, though, that the way we've worked has changed in a way, seeing that there's probably only still going to be maybe five or six people in the office on a given day, I'd probably make it more of a communal kind of space and then have some private rooms for people who really need to work privately. But otherwise, it feels actually a bit weird that there's only a few people and we're so far apart. I still like the notion of like an old library, like library tables, which, like, you know, like little dim lights and you can kind of share a table with someone if you want.
Green lampshade.
Green little, jade lamps.
Yeah, the click, gold click. Pull chain.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that notion of like four, six of these kind of tables lined up. And then having private spaces.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point because there are days when you could be in the office for 2 hours without me noticing.
Yeah.
Just because you're situated on the opposite end of the,
yeah,
of the office.
And sometimes people will go in the kitchen and work together.
Yeah.
I just feel like if we're going to get together, which we don't do that often, let's make it more communal,
mm-hmm,
but still have, again, these private, quiet, private rooms where you can go do your own work if you really need to do that. So it'd be more of a combination of private spaces and general spaces. I don't think we'd have individual desks anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's one or two, like I know you kind of have a high powered machine that you might kind of need. So maybe there's something like that, but maybe you just jump in a room for those moments. I don't know. I just want to rethink that a little bit and see what we can come up with. What I'd really like to truly buy. So Carlos Segura, who was one of the original partners at,
yep,
Basecamp or 37 Signals, when we first started the business, we worked out of his office. He's got this amazing, have you ever seen the building?
No, I haven't.
He has this amazing old bank. It's an old, small bank building.
Oh, cool.
With a marble facade.
Yep.
It's kind of like the perfect space. It's small scale. It's actually an old bank, which I would convert into an old library. Like, it has this massive lobby.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a cool, like, beautiful detail. I'd love to buy this building from him and bring Basecamp back to the place it started. And have our own freestanding building with a nice kitchen, has a nice basement, has a great space for podcast rooms. It's like, it's a good setup, has outdoor space, has outdoor parking, has a garage, roof deck, but like small scale building, like traditional Chicago single lot kind,
yeah,
of.
Yeah, I can,
know,
picture it.
I'll send you a picture. It's so cool. Anyway, cool. He's not ready to sell it yet, but I could see us at some point owning that,
yeah,
and that, making that our office again after 20 years.
We've been meaning to get Carlos on the podcast. Anyway,
he's
so
fun to talk to.
We can sort of put
butter
the bear there a little bit.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
We've talked about it. He's thinking about it. It's just like not, it wouldn't happen like this summer,
right,
when our lease is up. But it might, you know, maybe we find another place for a while. I don't know. If this thing came available, I would really think it'd be like kind of the ideal situation for,
mm-hmm,
us. It's an amazing place. But we'll see how it shakes out. Yeah.
After the break, Jason talks about the importance of healthy change, even if it's just a change in environment. But first, I want to bring on our friend Neil Salas-Griffin to share another interesting use of Basecamp.
Neil Salas-Griffin's back again with another Basecamp use case. This one's a little bit on the edge. That's how I've maintain some of the relationships I've been in over the years. So a lot of my ex-girlfriends have, you know, archived Basecamp accounts with our shared to-dos and ways that we've, you know, shared favorite movies and different lists of things. And we've gotten projects done together, recipes and, you know, planning and prep trips. So, yeah, when you know, it used to be Facebook official, but now it's Basecamp official. So if I'm with somebody and we're on Basecamp, you know it's real.
Basecamp is the all-in-one app for organizing your work and maybe even your life. Basecamp is now completely free for personal projects. Learn more at basecamp.com.
Sort of on the opposite side of that coin of what you're most excited about, what are you sort of most worried about or most nervous about around losing the office?
You know, for a while I had some sadness for a moment of like, this is a special place. Like the company grew up in here in a sense. Two different Basecamp launches. What else happens? I mean, book launches. There's a bunch of things that happened here.
You hired Sean Hildner.
That was a moment I'll never forget. I remember you even interviewed with a tie.
I wore a tie.
You wore a tie. It wasn't a bolo tie, though, which it should have been.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to, you know, put all my cards on the table.
Exactly.
First meeting.
Exactly. But, you know, a lot of things happened here, and it's a beautiful space, and everyone who comes in is really impressed, and we have these amazing workshops, and it's really laid out in a way where we can, like, throw a workshop at any time and, like, don't have to rent a venue, and it's a great space, and it represents how we work and the whole thing. And so for a moment, I was sad about it, but then it's just a space. It's just material. Whatever, we could do it again if we wanted to.
Yeah.
And it's 10 years old. Like, things change. So some friends are like, oh, my God, that place is amazing. How could you ever leave it? And it's like, well, it's just a place. We can make another amazing place. Why don't we make a place that represents who we are today and not who we were 10 years ago? Like, things have changed, too. And I do think a little bit about, like, how easy it is right now for us here. Like, we want to have a meetup. We just fly people in. Like, we don't have to think about venues and, like, dealing with that.
Yeah.
We want to have a workshop. We just, like, put it up online and go. You want to do a podcast and we just jump in this room. So there's a lot of ease in this space, which I think it will be difficult to recreate until we have our own dedicated space again. And some of the things we will never be able to do unless we get a big space, which we're probably not going to
right.
do. And just, like, moving stuff and storing furniture. Like, moving sucks always.
Yeah.
And we're going to hire someone to help us with that, but like just stuff.
It's still moving.
It's just stuff. I yeah. know. And it's just disruptive and it's annoying and it's irritating. And also like mailing addresses, all that shit that you just got to do. And I don't know where we're going to go probably, or maybe we will know by then. I don't look forward to that part at all.
Yeah.
And then I think the moment like we turn the lights out, like there'll be a little bit of an emotional feel there. Like that we're leaving a great space, you know? And also like I kind of hope that whoever comes in here changes it. Because I feel like we're leaving a lot for them. And it sounds terrible, but I feel bad. I feel like we're giving someone this amazing place. And this is like a terrible feeling. I'm just being honest about it. It's like someone's getting something really special here. And I just kind of feel weird about it. I don't know why I shouldn't. It's just my own little weird thing going on.
But, yeah.
You know.
Like when you sell your childhood home.
Yeah.
And be like, well, now you have to take care of this because I have a lot of memories
yeah.
in there.
Yeah.
Like, this is on you.
But I in that case, I'd want them to gut the house and make it their own.
Right.
Right. Like, that's kind of what I hope. I don't want someone to be like bringing people in here and being like, look at our amazing office. It's not your office, man.
That's mine.
That's my office
yeah, yeah.
that you took over, but it's ours. We built it. And so there's some of that weirdness, sure. but that'll fade in time. And the other thing is like, we have a very, this doesn't affect you, but we have a very sweet parking situation here.
Mm.
We have a parking garage underground, which is incredibly rare in this neighborhood. And we had to do a lot to make that happen. When we first moved in, or we first looked at the space, there was a ramp that was like 40 degrees or 50 degree, like crazy steep ramp. And I'm like, Phil, who's the landlord, I'm like, Phil, this is not, like, can't do this.
This can't be code.
So we put, yeah, it's not to code. And also like, it's flat out dangerous.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of work. He did a lot of work, but it's part of the lease to like, put a new ramp in, and we have a pretty sweet, like, I'm very fortunate. Like, I get to drive from a garage to a garage. Like, I appreciate how good we have it here,
yeah.
and we may not have that again. So I'm not looking forward to giving that up either. But, you know, again, like, these are all temporary things anyway. 10 years ago and a day before that, we didn't have this place either, and we existed, and we had a great business, and we will have the same thing after this, and we'll just move on.
It reminded me a lot of Basecamp when people say, you have this wonderful office, how could you ever leave? I remember getting those or hearing those sentiments when we launched BC2.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember hearing the exact same thing when we launched BC3.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of built into Basecamp and 37 Signals philosophy that, like, you know, sometimes you just need a fresh start.
Yeah, you know, I thought a little bit about that too with the space, which is if we were to sign another lease, like a real lease, it'd have to be 10 years because that's what commercial leases basically are, which means 20 years in the same space. I don't know if that's actually a healthy thing.
Yeah.
Maybe had we continued to expand and had more people working and living here in Chicago, that might make more sense. But I think it's just healthy to clean break occasionally like this. And it forces us to reevaluate our own values and how we want to work and how we want to be. And it's good on balance to like draw a line and leave and do something new with the space and or not have one at all. So I think this is our fifth office.
Yeah. Do you want to run through the full history? Because I only remember that I've only worked in this office.
Yeah.
But I've been over to Kudal's.
Yeah.
Where we used to work.
Yeah. Let's go through it if I can remember. So we first started the business in 99 and we worked out of Carlos's office. It was mm-hmm. me, Carlos, and Ernest around a table a little bigger than the table we're at right here. And we worked out of his place. So Carlos left about a year later. And so Ernest and I found a place on Institute Place. That was our first dedicated office. We had about 3,000 square feet. Nate Otto painted a mural in that space.
Sure.
This is way back when. This is way early. This is like 2000 or something.
This is when you could get Nate Otto art for dirt cheap.
For nothing. We were there for, I think, 3 years, and then our lease was up. We ended up moving across the street and subleasing someone else's office. Our landlord was George Papa George, who's an architect. Great name.
Fantastic.
Yeah, great name. Famous architect in Chicago. Not like famous in terms of amazing buildings, but has been around for a long time. Everyone knows George Papa George.
Yep. You never forget George Papa George.
Never forget George Papa George. So we rented some space. We finished the lease there. And then after that, that was like probably 2006, we went to Kudal. We rented 5 desks or 6 desks or something. And that was a really important thing for us.
And they weren't huge either, right? They could have had...
We had the same size company.
Yeah, basically. 5 or 6 desks as well.
They basically did. So we were there for about 5 years with Kudal. And then we moved into this space. So this is our fourth space, basically. And then our next one will be our fifth. And in 20 years, that's not so bad.
Oh, that's bad at all.
But we've subletted basically most of the time. We've only had 2 original spaces.
Right.
And maybe we'll – I think it kind of feels like we should bounce back to subletting again, actually, to be honest.
Hmm.
So we're talking again to B&L and this other company. This other guy I know, he's looking for new space. We might gang up together and work together. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe that's kind of the back and forth thing, sublet, own, or whatever. Until Carlos's building is available, I would just like to buy that building. It's such a cool space.
I think that's pretty good. Is there anything else you want to say about the office right now? We're going to do this again once, I mean, the big change happens.
People are always curious about, like, how much do you pay for your space?
Oh, yeah, stuff. Yeah. Let's do some real – can you say real numbers? Do you mind?
No, I don't. I don't know exact numbers, but I believe we're currently paying about $17,000 a month for the space.
Mm-hmm.
It's about $11,000, $10,800 or something like that. When we first moved in, our rent was – not that much cheaper, but like it's gone up over the years, over 10 years. I think it was like $15,000 or something or $14,000. I don't even remember exactly. But
do you remember what you were quoted when we first found out that the lease was up? And
yes. It was something like $38,000.
So more than double.
More than double. Our rent was about to more than double because this area, when we moved into this area, it was not desirable at all.
It was still meatpacking.
Meatpacking still. Mm-hmm. And so we were very early and we got a good lease and we got a great space and we got really good terms and the whole thing. So, you know, we've done very well for ourselves over the past 10 years and like finally like truth came and met us and it's like, well, it's going to be about 40 grand, you know, all in. Because the 38, there were some other things we had to pay for that we weren't paying for. And like parking was kind of included. It's not totally included now, but it's cheaper. Parking, everything was going up. Taxes were going up, all this stuff. So look, if we had 30 people in the office every day, but that'd be fine.
Completely worth it.
But so not worth it. Four people in the office. 40, close to 40 grand a month. It's ridiculous. Absolutely. It's ridiculous to pay 17. Totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a really super good deal right now in this neighborhood. So like I don't feel bad about that. And also whenever we have our workshops, tickets are, you know, about $1,000. We sell 37 tickets, $37,000. We sell out in a day. That pays for 2 months of rent. So like it's totally worth what we have. And in fact, we could pay the full rent, this new rent, and still do more workshops and be fine, but it just feels wasteful still.
Yeah.
Feels totally wasteful. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at in this neighborhood. And this neighborhood's just gotten crazy. So it's funny, it's like we could find a space that's half as big as we have now, and it's going to cost just as much as we pay today. but that's just the reality of the situation.
Have you ever crunched any numbers on if we were a totally remote company, how much you save on office rent versus how much it costs to fly everyone to like rent this big theater or hotel conference room?
You know, we've looked at it before. I mean, it depends. The nice thing about Chicago, there's a couple things that are nice about Chicago. One is that it's pretty centrally located for people in the United States, at least.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone has a direct flight to Chicago. And internationally, almost everyone has a direct flight to Chicago. Chicago's a great city for that. Not everybody, but almost everybody. But if we had to fly an additional, you know, 13, 14 people somewhere else and rent a venue, it just depends on the venue. You know, like there's cheap venues, there's expensive venues, but it'd be another 14 flights plus 14 hotel rooms. So it could get pretty expensive pretty quickly. Having an office and having everyone come in twice a year and paying rent is probably actually a much better deal.
Right.
And it also just cuts down on like flying. We were talking a little bit about, David and I just yesterday, about like carbon footprint for the company and how flying is just like brutal.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. This is sort of exciting. I'm a little nervous.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is it because like
I love
your
the office.
Job? Yeah, I do too. But is it also because like you have this room for you or not?
There's that. I'm just such like a creature of habit. Like I love having this schedule. I wake up at the same time. I take the same train to work
every day. Same clothes
every day. Exactly.
Every day. Yeah.
I make zero decisions in my life.
Yeah,
you know, change is hard.
Well, you know, it is. But once we have something new to do, you'll get used to that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that'll be the thing. We're not going to like sign a 2-year lease somewhere. Like
right.
we're going to, if we get another space, we're going to be in it for at least 5.
Unless the bank comes up, then I will
make that happen. I'll show you some pictures. It's pretty cool.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thank you, Jason.
You bet, Sean. Thanks.
Rework is produced by Sean Hildner and me, Waylon Wong. Our music is by Clipart.
You can find show notes for this episode at our website, rework.fm. We are on Twitter at Rework Podcast. You can also email us at hello@rework.fm or give us a call and leave a voicemail at 708-628-7850. We'd love hearing from all of our listeners. And if you have a second, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rework is brought to you by Basecamp. Basecamp combines all the tools teams need to get work done in a single, streamlined package. With Basecamp, everyone knows what to do, where things stand, and where to find things they need. Check it out for yourself at basecamp.com.
Waylon, I'm thinking about getting this worm bin.
I love worms.
Can you tell me sort of what I'm doing?
I have been vermicomposting now for maybe 6 years or something. Yeah, it's been a while. My brother-in-law got me, this is many years ago now, I believe it's called, is it Worm Factory 360? I should look up the exact name of the brand. But it is a tiered system of bins that stack on top of each other and they have holes at the bottom. And so you set it up and you put some like dirt in there and then you add your worms and you add your food scraps and then the worms start breaking down the food and then their poop becomes your compost. And after that bin gets filled up, you put the next bin on top. And because there's holes in the bottom of that bin, you put the food scraps in the new bin with some dirt and stuff. And then the worms like crawl up through the holes and they populate the new bin. And then you can like scoop the compost out of the bottom bin that they vacated. And that is your compost. So it's like a very elegant system.
How fantastic. I'm really excited to start this little project. Awesome.
What else can I
What kind of worms are we talking about here? What kind of worms should I be sourcing?
They're called red wrigglers, I think. And I remember I just ordered them on Amazon and I remember they just like come in like a brown paper bag. I mean, they were like very not packaged like in like a fancy way because I remember getting a text from my husband being like, your worms just arrived. I put them on the counter and they're just like
Please
kind
come
of,
deal with
it's
this.
Just like a pile of worms like in like a very like shoddy container on the counter. We are like allergic in my house. You know, like 2 out of the 3 members of our household are allergic
to everything.
Like everything, like pet dander and stuff like that. So we consider these to be our pets.
That's adorable.
They don't have names, you know. My daughter gets involved. We like to go check on the worms and you can watch them at work, you know.
Watch them eat and poop.
Oh, yeah. That's all they do.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I'll keep you and our listeners posted on how my worm project goes.
Yeah, please do.